It was always going to be a three-book series. We have another one coming due out next year. It was a really good, just one of those light bulb moments, and I had it, chatted to Paul. Paul liked it. Chatted to his publisher, and they liked it. And then we went to Penguin. Penguin liked it. So it just seemed to fit really well. A lot of positive messages in it. You know, it's based on my rugby experience and my non-rugby experience, you know, growing up in Wexford, going to school in Kildare, being an early professional in a game, and all the fun things that happened in between, and plenty of life lessons and challenges that we hope the readers and maybe the readers' parents, that it resonates with them.
Absolutely. There is everything for everybody in the family in the book there. And you mentioned the Wexford connection, Wexford Wanderers getting a bit of a shout out in the first book. Is there any further connections in this one?
There's always, it's more around Mac Wunderburger is the restaurant in the book. I spent a lot of my time working in Burger Mac in Wexford when I was younger. So, so we've got a few of the funny things that happened behind the grill in Burger Mac.
There's still plenty of funny things happening in front of it as well, I can tell you. The first book obviously looked at, you know, your Irish career and Gordon's Irish career as well. And this book moves on to the story of joining Leinster. And it's fairly true to life as well. There's the accusations of the players being soft and having fake tans. And, you know, they have to deal with the so-called Leinster fans, the people from Leinster who were supporting Munster at the time. We don't want to give away what book Gordon does to deal with these challenges. But how did real life Gordon deal with them during the time?
Actually, in much the same way as the character in the book does. The big theme in the first book was around fitting in and how he struggled, you know, with fitting in with his peer group and with new peers, and how he had to mature and he had to ask for help. And then in this book, it's different challenges, having to stand up for what he believes in and also for asking for help. Because one of the things in this book is the character is still in school. So he's playing for Leinster and he's helping to hopefully turn around the Leinster team with Joe Schmidt and some new players. But he also has to study in school, and he's not giving his study the time that's required. So he has to ask for help. And Gordon is amazed that people are willing to help him when he's brave enough to ask for help. And I think that's a really, really important message. One of the fun things we did in the book as well was we talked about the Leinsters. You know, and I go back to, you know, when I started playing rugby in 98, and probably the team that most people supported in Wexford may have been Munster, because they were the team that were very, very successful in Europe. And we had to give them something to support in Leinster. And eventually we did, which is nice to be able to say.
Of course, you know, having a player from the county winning, you know, Heineken Cups and that kind of stuff was obviously a big part of that. And, you know, you look at the current Leinster team, we've got Tyke Furlong, who's obviously out injured at the minute, but, you know, one of the best in the world at his position. We've got Josh Murphy, who's really coming onto the scene. We had Josh on the show a couple of weeks ago, speaking about, you know, sort of juggling learning medicine and playing rugby at the same time. So that'll obviously tie into the book as well. And it's great to have that sort of county connection to a side like Leinster, which can be a bit all-encompassing when, you know, especially when there is so many players from the school's kind of connection there, the sort of South Dublin. And to have that Wexford connection, it helps people to get in love with the team.
Well, I think it's very important that it's not... Dublin had the image of a Dublin-centric team. And it wasn't until players like Mark McHugh and Shane Horgan and Tyke Furlong and Sean O'Brien started coming through that the... You know, and Devon Toner, that we started to embrace the rest of the counties, and that is I know that was something that Mick Dawson, the CEO, and Michael Checa, when he came in, and Joe Schmidt, when he followed on the good work, and Leo would be very passionate about it as well. That it is a province, not just a county team, and you can see that now with the high performance centres that are planned for around the province. So I kind of look back tongue in cheek to where we were, and it's phenomenal to see the growth in the province. And Josh Murphy, like, he's one of my favourite players in Leinster at the moment. Really, really enjoying watching him play.
And speaking of, you know, the Wexford connection, we had Paul Boyle scoring his hat-trick there last weekend as well. So we've seen it with the Enniscorthy Rugby Club. They're up in the AIL now. And Wexford Rugby is really sort of starting to see a bit of a resurgence, and we're starting to battle on all fronts now.
Yeah, that is good. And like, I think I would love to see a you know, we talk about this path to the green jersey and to the professional game. I would love, you know, if you could say every club in Ireland to have an Irish representative would be an absolute phenomenal. Could you imagine the player base we would have, not just in Wexford, but in all around the country, that we had all these players that were, they could see a path into the professional game. And as you're talking about Paul Boyle, there's more than one way for players to get to the professional game. You know, you just have to look at timing. You know, Johnny Sexton was 23 or 24 before he breaks into the Leinster team. So there is always room for players, but if we have to invest in the grassroots game and we have to continually develop it, and that is our best chance for player development in the country.
And speaking of Leinster, they're back in European action this weekend, Montpellier the opposition, and Leo Cullen has really said all the right things about going to France and respecting the opponents, but the French side were probably one of the lowest ranked in the top 14 coming into the competition. There's the new pool stages now, and this is a game that Leinster really should be looking for a bonus point in.
I think that is, that would be an ambitious thing to start off your, and I know the players and I know the way Leo thinks, and that's not a goal that you set out with. You set out to build your way into a game and you aim to score tries, but to set out to score four tries, you know, you're almost putting the cart before the horse. You know, when you look at the quality of players that these guys have right across it, you know, Bismarck Duplessis, you know, Paul Wilmser, Pickham Moles, Andre Pollard, Boutier in the backs, like, this is a quality team. So even when you're seeing names like that, you're going to have to earn it. Like, when they're on their game, they're a really, really top team. If Leinster can impose themselves on the game, then what you would like to be seeing is that once they start to get a foothold in the game, that they continue to, yeah, I suppose, hammer home that advantage and end up with a bonus point, because, you know, they're on record themselves as saying this is going to be, every point is going to count in this group.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a new format for the competition this year, and you have four big games, and, you know, there is a possibility that if you win the four games, you mightn't even make the knockout stages there. So scoring points and scoring tries will be so important for Leinster this year.
Yeah, and I think that fits into the way Leinster tried to approach the game, which is fine. Like, you got to remember, this is away from home as well. Going to France is never easy. Going to France under COVID restrictions is even harder. But yeah, they listen, the way Leinster set out to play, they do try to pressurize and they try to put pressure both on the field and both on the scoreboard. So, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them taking points early if they're on offer.
Sure. And we know all about Leinster's run in the Pro 14. So Europe is where they're really sort of setting the benchmark and where they're going to challenge themselves this year. There was the quarterfinal exit to rival Saracens last year, and that really had to hurt because of the sort of rivalry between the two sides. You've seen the likes of Caelan Doris come into the Irish setup and, you know, excel there. Do you think that Leinster are stronger this year than last year?
I didn't bring my crystal ball to this chat, unfortunately. Sure. That's a chat, you know. Geez, I was going to say that's a pub chat, but it might be a Zoom chat at the moment. That's something you kind of look back at. I think there's been a big turnover in players, and there's players coming to the end of their tenure, and there's new guys coming through, and they need to have that transfer of experience. You know, you've got the likes of Kieran Frawley coming through now, and you have a couple of injuries. Gary Ringrose out. You know, Devin Toner still there, Ronan Keller coming through. So there is a big experience transition happening in Leinster. So I don't think it's fair to directly compare them. You know, you got Scott Fardy still in there. So it's going to be really interesting to see how these younger guys perform now in a real test almost arena. And that's going to be there's going to be an awful lot of scrutiny on that, because Leinster are just blowing teams away in the Pro 14. They're able to try things. But when you get into pressure situations, that's when, I suppose, the cream rises to the top. And that's what we need to see from Leinster, how they react in real pressure situations. And this will be a fairly, fairly daunting first outing.
And who are the other big teams that you're looking at in Europe that Leinster will be targeting, hopefully later on down the competition and into the knockout stages?
Yeah, like, it doesn't get easy. You know, you're going straight over to Northampton Saints in the next round. And, like, Northampton they started reinvesting in their academy about 24 months ago and started bringing local guys through. And they're starting, you know, a little, you wouldn't compare them to Leinster, but they have similarities to Leinster, and they're starting to get a bit of dividend from that. So again, thankfully they do have them in the RDS. So that is, you know, if things go well or things don't go well against Montpellier this weekend, they have the opportunity to get a home performance and pop home that advantage. you know, and then you quickly get into the home and away battles with them, and you know, it's going to be the other teams that are clearly at the top of this. You know, you can't look past, you know, Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle. You can expect an awful lot from them. Clermont are always going to be thereabouts, and you know, Toulouse have to be one of the teams that are really starting to challenge. You know, they have that a big spine of the French team, and of course, like you're looking at Exeter Chiefs, who are probably playing the best rugby in the Northern Hemisphere, or comparatively with Leinster. So how these teams go in the next couple of weeks is going to be interesting. And of course, we have, you know, the keep an eye obviously always with Dunnigh Ryan and Zeebs in Racing 92.